Live.
Blog Talk Radio.
I had to ask Melvin and Doug Williams to stop by.
Ooh, wee.
To remind us that there's purpose in our faith. It may not look good right now. Don't worry.
Oh, my.
Fire!
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station.
Amen. This is Reverend Jeffrey Scott Sr., and this we're listening to Every Man Standing in His Place. And we heard the song playing, and we know that God is in control of our lives. He's in control of everything that happens. So, you know, our biggest thing is to understand that because God is in control, things may not happen the way we want them to or the way it seems like, you know, we think it should, but it all works out according to God's plan. Amen. So we want to start out with a word of prayer. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Amen. We come to you thanking you for today. We thank you for everything that's going on today. We thank you for all of those that are here right now. Father God, we just lift you up. We magnify you and we praise your name. And now, Father God, we come to you just asking that you soften our hearts and our minds and allow us to receive a word from you, Father God, that we can know even more so how to live the way you want us to live, how to walk the way you want us to walk, how to talk the way you want us to talk, when to speak and when to listen, Father God. We just want to do your will. And, Father God, we just want to lift you up. May all the things that are done and said be pleasing in your sight, Father God. And we ask this all in the mighty, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And so tonight, as I was stating before in December, I was stating that we were going to have some guests on. And so we're starting out with a very special guest. He's actually my cousin, and he's been in the ministry doing what God has called him to do. And so right now I'm going to turn it over to him, because they say the best way to introduce somebody that is going to bring the word is to let them bring the word. It's just that simple. Amen. So right now I want to present to some, introduce to others, Virgil E. Carter, servant Virgil E. Carter. Amen. And he's going to come as God allows him to. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Thank you, brother in Christ. Amen. God bless you all. And I'm quite sure God has prepared your hearts through that beautiful prayer for himself to be glorified through his word. I want to thank Jeffrey and his wife, Michelle, for, you know, prompting me to be available if I were available, and I'm so glad to do this. Thank you, Bishop Sherlane Cook, for your Spirit Alive ministry, and I've heard you before. I've been on here before, and I'm just pleased that this is going on as a platform for people just to express themselves for the Lord, those who are saved. So without further ado, let us turn our Bibles to Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 20th chapter, starting at the 16th verse. And as we prepare to do that, I'm going to read a poetic song. It's Let the Fire Fall on Me. We might be familiar with that, but I'm just going to read a short portion of that and connect that to the sermon. It's a song, and I won't sing it, but I'll just give the words. It says, Lord, I would be wholly thine. I would do thy will divine. The world and sin and self, I would be free. Concentrate on that. From the world of sin and self, I would be free. On the altar now I lie, and with all my heart I cry. Let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. And the chorus would go, let the fire fall on me, let the fire fall on me. The fire of Pentecost consuming sin and dross. Let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. As we look at Deuteronomy 20, starting right here at the 16th verse, let's read together in our own hearts, of the cities of these people which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save nothing, or thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. Amen. Let's stop right there. We're going to get into more of this in this short period of time. Nothing that breatheth. It kind of reminds me, I saw a movie called Goodfellas, and sometimes we look at movies, and they were riding around, and they had killed a body. They killed a person and put him in the trunk. And as they rode, they kept hearing some knocking and some breathing, and he wasn't quite dead yet. And they pulled the car over in the desert and started stabbing him again. I mean, we're going to make sure that you are dead, every pulse, every little thing. And oftentimes we can think of this as a person riding around in a hearse, and somebody's dead in the back. They're supposed to be dead. And oftentimes what God was showing me is that oftentimes that person who God wants to be dead, he really doesn't want any part to breathe the fight with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ is living in him. In other words, what Christ is doing and what he's saying through this message is oftentimes your worst enemy, as people go to kill their enemies. And we're going to find that God wanted them to kill their enemies, and this was the Old Testament. But this was a type or figure pointing towards what God really was all the way pointing to what we wanted Christ to do within our lives through the Holy Spirit. In other words, so that we could die to self. Oftentimes we'll find that our worst enemy is ourself. Like the song says, I would, from the world of sin and self, I would be free. On the altar now I lie, and with all my heart I cry. Let the holy fire from heaven fall on me. We're going to read further and see what's going here. But let us keep in mind that God is saying, don't let it anything that breathes. And let me keep in mind and let me tell you, oftentimes when you find that your worst enemy is yourself, as the Bible says, if your right hand offend you, if your right eye offend you, cut it off with the sword. Cut it off with the things of the Spirit. In other words, God is getting us prepared to know that we must lay ourselves on this altar, on an altar for the fire of Christ to burn up sin and dross, the thing that has been getting in our way, carnal us, the inherited nature that we inherited from Adam and Eve. But God wants us to recognize it and hate ourselves so much. And when the Bible says hate yourself, he that hateth not his own life, he does not mean that God wanted us to commit suicide. He means that because of sin entering this world, there is something about man, Trump, politicians, everything. I've known people to go to prisons and kill people and murder people and snap out of it and say, what did I do? I've known homosexuals personally that was praying prayers to say, I hate myself. They don't mean the human being, the beautiful person that God created Adam and Eve in. We mean since the sin has taken over and every man was born in sin, people begin to get a glimpse of this problem, this enemy in the Canaan land, a place that God wants us to
preach.
Let us read further, and I'll make this clear. I believe in the Lord.
Yeah.
It says, nothing that breatheth, 17, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 18, that they teach you not to do after their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God. Now, there's a scripture that we're all familiar with that basically says, and this is from Romans 8 and 7, in the New Testament. Now, keep in mind, all this is pointing towards the work of salvation. Everything that took a literal form, as we know, in the Old Testament was pointing towards salvation. Ever since Adam and Eve failed, it was prophesied that Jesus would eventually come to do away with this sin. And in Romans 8 and 7, it says, the carnal mind is enmity. It's an enemy of God. It says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And what God is saying with these Jebusites and Hittites and the Amorites, meaning these were a group of people living in the Canaan land. Oftentimes this is pointing for the fact that oftentimes people have things inside of themselves and enemies. This is why the psalmist says, Lord, search me We know the scriptures. Lord, search me. And if anything, try me. If there's anything in me that is not like any wicked way in me, this is in Psalms 139, 23, and 24. If there's anything in me, lead me in thy way. Search me. In other words, we want God to have his way to do some destruction. The thing that I kind of went with today is destroying to live. Because what God wants us to do, he wants us to do the destroying. Now, we know that we didn't die on the cross. We know that we can't do anything. But since Christ has died and rose with all power, he makes available, as the Bible says, he is the sword of the Spirit. He gives us the voice of the Spirit. He gives us so that we can willfully say, Lord,
have thine own way.
Yes. Have thine own way. In other words, God wants us to not leave the carnal us breathing, utterly destroy it, because it is not subject to God, neither can be. Let me break that down a little bit more. Have you ever been to a high school reunion in 40, 50 years or your neighborhood, and you've seen people who have gotten older, you knew them when they was 14, 13, 21, or whatever, and you see them 10 years later, and you said, man, Uncle Jed, somebody, Pee-wee, Junebug, they have not changed. They got older, but they have not changed. They didn't mature. Some of us know that age does not mature you. Whatever age you are, in your 50s, 60s, or 70s, everybody is not the same 50 and 60 that you are being in Christ. It's some old fools. It's some people that are old. The devil has even made their habits even worse because years have inbred them into more of those actions. This is
Come
why
on.
A lot of people
Thank
have a problem
now.
Getting married older and older and older because they figure you are set in your ways, you have baggage, you have all of this stuff that you have not necessarily anybody on this phone, but humanity without Christ. And what God is saying, when we recognize that the worst enemy is often the carnal self that is not subject to God, oh my God, God is saying, you can't grow into it, you can't work at this, you can't read self-help books, you won't live 95, you cannot even be reincarnated. I've spoken to people that believe that if you come back again, you got another chance and a whole nother lifetime will get it right. And then you come back again, and if you keep coming, eventually you will evolve. That is not true, but the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. In other words, we have one chance to get this right. Now is the day of salvation. Now is
Say
the
that.
Time. In other words, God can do it right now if we submit ourselves. As we read further, we begin to realize that these Hittites and Jebusites and the Canaanites was just a little aspect of what God was pointing us forward to know that he wanted us to get to the Canaan land. Now, we all should know and do know that when the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, that was symbolic at that time of us being delivered from sin, the bondage of sin. But their destination was to the Canaan land. But it wasn't just so easy that they were going to go in. They had to drive up. They had to take the land. And what God is basically saying, when we are delivered from sin under the work of justification, meaning we have been forgiven, like the disciples, he promised them that the Holy Spirit would be coming. And we know that happened on the day of Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit wasn't just there for them to have a new language. He wasn't just there to make people shout. That was the fulfillment and entire salvation that would make them complete by burning away the inherited sin within their heart. In other words, God wanted them to get to the Canaan land in a spiritual sense, like he wanted Israelites to get to the Canaan land in the literal sense. But they had to drive out. And in other words, the way we drive out is we submit ourselves to God. Let me explain something, one more thing. Oftentimes, trials and tribulations will bring out who you really are. That's why Peter said that the trying of your faith, he mentions the trying of your faith, though it be tried with fire. Matter of fact, I might even turn to that right now. I believe that's in 1 Peter 1 and 7. And I'm going to read that real quick, 1 Peter 1 and 7, that will give a sense of direction even more. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, tried with fire. We all know from our trials and tribulations that when we are tried, my father, when I used to ride a bicycle and I got a flat tire, I didn't know where the puncture was coming from. So my father would take the inner tube out, and wherever the puncture, and it may be two or three. Some of us have cars, and we have gotten a flat tire, and we don't know. We take it to a car place, and we find out the hole is over here. But what they do is to find that hole, they have to pump it up, stretch it, and pump more air into it. We know it's got a hole, but to find out where it's coming from, they have to pump more air into it. Oftentimes, when I was growing up, they would put the inner tube underwater. In other words, and when they saw the leak, like a submarine, where they saw things coming out, where they try it and search it, they begin to see three or four leaks. And what God is saying, oftentimes God doesn't want, and none of the time, God does not want the enemy or the carnal or anything that is not like him hiding in the punctures of your life, hiding in things that only could come out when you're tested and tried by surprises, trials, and tribulations. And this is why he's saying that the trial of your faith being much more precious than a gold that perishes. Isn't that something? How can a trial be precious? I don't think people would think, I don't want a trial. But when we understand what salvation was all about, when we understand that God is about to find out, even though he knows, but he wants us to know where the gaps are, where the things are, where the right hand that offends us, where the right eye, what the things about us that we need to put up on the altar for the fire of God to burn, to destroy, that it don't breathe anymore. We need to know. Some of us coming through the COVID period of time and coming, as people said, 2020 was the worst year of their life. But can I tell you, it was a blessing. It was better, as the Bible says, better than gold that perishes. If you understand that it was going to bring out things in families, families that had to sit together and quarantine, husbands and wives, they have to talk, and it had to bring out things. It brings out things, what the police did. All of these things is for God, not for you to hate your enemies on the outside, but for you to notice what came out of you and give it to God before the day of judgment. God is loving us so much, he wants us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. And we don't know how to examine ourselves. We don't know how to get to us. That's why we said, Lord, search me. So the Lord calls us trials. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Come on now.
I used to have a mouth on me. I used to talk to people and have a mouth because I had an answer for everything. But sometimes God wanted me to be quiet, and I knew when. But oftentimes, all that day, somebody would poke at me and say something, and I would notice something about myself. Lord, I have to give this to you and give that to you and give everything to you. All the different things in the love of God, he is causing me to notice. So he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious, this is the mirror that we need. Oh, my God. I was in a store the other day. It's called It's a Wrap. Some of you women know what I'm talking about, because there's a mirror that oftentimes you don't like. There's a mirror in the dressing room that has so much light. Sometimes we like the mirror at home that's kind of dull, because a real good mirror shows you every little flaw that you don't want to see. It shows you every little wrinkle, and the lights are on. And this is a mirror at this store to where I thought I was cut. I thought I had a six-pack in my mirror. I thought I had it in the shadow of looking at store. But this mirror is so bright and so clean and crystal clear, it almost makes me hate the mirror. But let me tell you that even when I was a bodybuilder years ago, one of the best precious things I could have did was strip myself down and look at myself as I was and see the ugliest parts of my natural body. Because when you become a bodybuilder, now you know what to work on. Now you know what to go to the gym and do something about. Now you know that's the part you don't want to see. And the part you don't want to see is God is bringing it right before you in his love before the day of judgment. Why? Because he is cutting back walk church without spot or wrinkle? Are we readying ourselves? Yes. And he says that the trying of your faith being much more precious than a gold that tears. That's why it's precious. The trial that brings out the inner tube that goes underwater, the submarine that gets pressure so you can find out what leaks, so you can find out how you respond. Though it be tried with fire, might be found. Found. How is it? You should be better this year than you were last year, and not just in a growing period of time, but allowing the Holy Spirit, allowing yourself to mortify, to destroy. This is why in the New Testament the Bible says, mortify, kill your members that are on the earth. We find that, of course, in Colossians. Mortify your members that are on the earth. Why? Meaning to kill. As he says, to go in and drive them out. Don't leave anything breathing. Kind of like the movie Goodfellas. When they heard something was still breathing, there was still some lumps. And what God is saying by that, don't leave it breathing. Oftentimes when people went to funerals back in the day, they didn't have technology. They used to put a mirror up on the people's nose. gangsters, pimps. People would go to a funeral that didn't even like the person to make sure they were dead. And if they can see the mirror fall, this is a fact, if they see the mirror fog up, they didn't have all the technology. They would want to get a pulse, and they would do little things. But one of the best ways was to put a mirror up under their nose, because you can only hold your breath for some time because people were faking their death. And God is saying, don't fake your death spiritually. God knows whether you have really mortified, if you have really destroyed in his love, not his hate for you, but destroyed. Destroying a destruction to live. See, the devil is a fire too. The Bible says to put up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the trial of our faith being tried with fire. See, what happens in forest fires, they fight fire with fire. And what they do, they burn up all the things that fuel what they call bad fire. The good fire burns up the things that will fuel bad fire. God is amazing how he does this. So what he does is burns up everything so that the bad wildfire that's here to kill and destroy life is actually helpless against the fire that's there to preserve life. This is why Jesus says the devil has come to kill and to steal and destroy. But I, the fire, and God is a consuming fire. The fire that he is, he's coming to have life. That we have life, he's coming to burn up sin and all the things against life.
Yeah.
The things of death. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Turn with me to Hebrew, if you will. Hebrews 2 and 14 is coming to mind. I'm going to go ahead and read. And this is the word of God that says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, speaking of Jesus, also himself, he also likewise took part of the same, that he, listen, that through death he might destroy. We see the word destroy. We started in Deuteronomy 20, destroy everything that breathes, destroy. We see this is a destruction of love. It says that he might destroy him that hath the power of King verse says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In other words, the word destroy may sound derogatory or negative. But in the love of God, oh, my God, this is why when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he says, behold, the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sin of the world. In other words, he knew what it was all about. And John testified and said, I do baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me, come on now, he that cometh after me, he is here to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's where we started with that song. Not that a song is the word of God, but this song is actually depicting exactly what the word of God said. Let the fire fall on me. The fire of God to burn away the sin and the dross, to make salvation entire, to make salvation complete. Not just the forgiveness of sin, but the inherited sin that we inherited. God wanted to fully redeem us. And oftentimes people think it's enough that they have just come to the Lord. Then they begin to notice things that God, you know, that God does not want them to breathe anymore. Things that they need to lay on the altar of sacrifice. This is why the Bible says, I beseech you, we know the scripture, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourselves. You're going to do some destroying, but it's some good destroying. We're not going to do it ourselves, but by what God has made available, God just don't want to kick the door down and everybody just go to heaven. Or everybody would go to heaven if God just did it against our will. But God is saying willfully, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice. Most sacrifices, as we know, was a dead sacrifices. They were dead, the lamb, the bull. But when something is living, you can get off of that altar yourself. In other words, my mommy used to make me go get a switch. That was like, what is this, a catch-22? Is that a joke? I used to run half the time. You send me outside to get a switch, I'm down the street on East 24th Street. I'm not coming to my own whipping. I'm not coming to my own destruction and the things that's going to be driven out of me, a sulfur behind. But they would make you do it so you can participate, so they can say, you know what? You know what you've done. Help out the process. Here's what I'm saying. That's hard for us as kids. But what Christ is saying, I want you to participate. I want you to go get the sword of the Spirit. I'm not just going to hold you down and make you do it and drag you in heaven. I want you to willfully present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And it finishes by saying, which is your reasonable, meaning it makes sense. When we were kids, it didn't make sense to us. We just felt like it was painful. But what God is saying, the love of God, through what we submit for, when we think about what he's really doing, tribulation. And what he wants to do to destroy and to burn away sin and for us to submit ourselves, we realize that is reasonable. That makes sense when we look at what hell is, when it makes sense when we look at what Adam did, when it makes sense when we look at the enmity or the enemy that the carnal mind has been to us. This is why the Bible says if your right hand offend you, cut it off. It has done you wrong. So therefore it begins to make sense what God wants to do within our lives. I'm thinking right now of James 3 and 6. If you have your Bibles, you can turn or you can just read. I'm going to go ahead within the time that I have. Listen to what the Bible speaks about fire. I'm going to back up to the 6 because I see something that would be make it better to kind of roll into it. James 3 and 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire. See, the devil works with some. The devil, everything really is burning. Matter, molecules, atom. But God is the consumer. He burns up everything. He's the greater fire. Even people, when you get fat, what you want to do, burn away the fat. When people have cancer, burn it away with radiation. Everything, every molecule, everything is really matter that is burning. But God is that great beyond what we can understand. He's a consuming fire. Matter of fact, the ways of God is beyond us finding out. But greater is he that is in us than the fire that the enemy, greater than us alone. But the Bible says if God be for us, if we submit to God, who? What fire? Like in a forest fire. God will burn up everything that's not of him so the devil cannot stand a chance. And it says, 6th verse, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. And when we started, it says, our members. The carnal mind is not subject to God, neither indeed can be. But mortify your members, as it said. But it said, the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it is, look, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. So within this short time, we began to see that God is that consuming fire that destroys, that the enemy does not like. But if we let the fire of the Holy Spirit, if we let the word of God, this is why Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are light. They are burning. The word of God itself and the Holy Spirit agrees as one. This is why the Bible says, I've hidden thy word in my heart that I sin not against thee. In other words, we want to be filled with this word, filled with this spirit. No room for us but all of Jesus for the Holy Spirit to come and make us abode within our life so that it's fire. So we are that fire in Christ. He is within our hearts. And let me tell
you
that this is a melting pot. A melting pot to where even the Jews, the Gentiles, your Scorpio signs, whether you're a Leo, most people say, I don't get along with Scorpio. I don't get along with Leo. But what God has done with everything in humanity, where the Bible says he has tasted death for every man, yes, without Christ, there are all of these differences, signs, Jews, Gentiles, women, men, women from Venus, men from Mars, skinheads, whites, blacks, police. It is all these differences. But in the melting spot of the Spirit, if we go through that door of Christ Jesus and salvation,
yes,
we begin to
yes,
see that the walls are coming down. Sectarianism are thrown out, whereby we are one. As the Bible says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It is one church. We're called with one hope and the hope of our calling. One Lord, Lord God, who is in us all and through us all. And this is why Jesus sums it up in the 17th chapter of John, as we're familiar, where he says, Lord, sanctify them. Thy word is truth. Sanctifying the New Testament means to be filled. Matter of fact, he says, I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to come. He says, he is with you, but he shall be in you. And he says, sanctify them through thy church, that they may be one. In other words, get rid of it. Get rid of the inside. Get rid of all the enemies. Drive out the Hittites and the Jebusites and all the. This is symbolic to say everything that is not like God. As he went on to say, they're going to teach you the ways that are not of God, because it's not subject to God. Your carnal mind, our carnal mind, and anything of sin and the worldly ways, if we went along with it and do not cut it off and get rid of it, it's going to teach us. It's going to lead us in ways that is not of God. And God said, don't let it breathe. Don't leave it breathing. This is why the Bible says the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oftentimes in my neighborhood, I'm getting a thought here, German Shepherd, or a pure breed pit bull, pure. This is why the Bible says he purified our hearts by faith, speaking of the Holy Spirit. He purified, the Bible says he put no difference between us and them, purifying our hearts by faith. And what happens is, without God, there's so much going on. Some people call it bipolar. Some people seem like they got split personalities. They mix with a little pit bull, a little bit of pool. See, when a dog is mixed or animals mixed with so many different things, they call that a mutt. And what God doesn't want in the kingdom is spiritual mutts. He wants pure, thoroughbred, fully Christ living within you, nothing but Christ. As Paul says, I live, yet not I am crucified with Christ, so that we are purified by faith and nothing but Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is living you in the pureness of one. We're not mixed with God and a little bit of ourselves, a little bit of pit bull, chihuahua, a little bit of the devil, a little bit of the world, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. God is saying if we notice those things through trials and tribulations, in his love, he's not condemning you. As he told the lady, go and sin no more. I don't condemn you. I'm just letting you see what the devil has done. But I have come to destroy the works before the day of judgment so that we will do the destroying by submitting ourselves so that he might present it to himself a glorious church, a pure church, not having spot nor wrinkle. And that's why we reiterate in Psalms 139, 23, and 24, because we don't know our hearts. The Bible says, who can know the heart? Who can know what's in the inner tomb? Who can know? Only God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me. Try me. Let some trial. Basically, try me. Let some trials come my way so I can see how I respond. Let some temptations come my way. Let some things happen. Let some winds blow so that I can see. Thank you. Oftentimes the Bible says, and it says all the time, in all things give thanks. When you're going through a trial and tribulation, no matter what you just went through in 2020 or 21, thank God. Even if you saw something about yourself that you're not, thank God. Thank you, God, that you showed me something.
Yes, sir.
And it says, try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked thing and lead me in the way of everlasting. Search me, O Lord. In other words, this is the fire. The devil comes at us with fire, and things are burning. But God is that fire that burns everything up, and the only thing that's going to be standing in the day of judgment. God wants to find you filled with the Spirit. He wants to find you one with him. He wants to find you purified by faith that is in Christ Jesus. So the Bible is saying mortify. It is your responsibility. Mortify your members that are on the earth. I'm thinking of a song. It says, let me see Jesus only. It was a song. We're not going by books and songs, because that don't mean a song or a book that you refer to. T.D. Jakes and Kirk Franklin can make a song. But I want you to, this is in agreement with the word of God. That's why the Bible said they searched the scriptures, not a book, not a song, to see whether those things were true. But this is scripturally true. And the songs go, dead to every worldly pleasure. Not breathing, dead. Dead to sin. Paul says, I die daily. In other words, don't let it breathe. Go, like the movie Goodfellas, don't let the old you be resurrected. Don't let them get a pulse. The devil wants the old you to resurrect. Get a little pulse, breathing in the back, coughing a little bit back there, and being fed every worldly pleasure. Dead indeed to sin am I, but alive to Christ my Savior. Daily to him I'm drawing nigh. Think of it like this as I bring this to a close. What happens in the natural body with cancer, with a tumor? Tumors, you'll find they grow. You know why? Because they feed off of toxins and sugar. They feed. They're growing. If it was just totally dead, it would not grow. In other words, when a person deceased and they have no pulse, you're not going to check on a body in the ground and the tumor that they died with is still growing because everything dies. But what happens is it feeds off of things that it likes. But you'll find that if you don't feed it, if you let it die, if we don't feed it, that's why the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not mighty through God, to the bringing down and pulling down of strongholds and every high thing and imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Here's what I'm saying, saints of God, is God is saying, let self die. Don't feed into it with worldliness. Don't feed it and let it grow. Don't let the old you start to resurrect again by feeding the thing. Let it die. Let it suffocate. That's why oftentimes when we eat sulfur and onions and we take water, have you ever been to the beach and you've seen a bird? And you figure, this bird eats anything. I'm going to throw some popcorn. I'm going to throw some bacon. I'm going to throw. Certain birds don't eat. I don't care what it is. They just peck on it and they leave. Do you know that bird, if you kept throwing that every day for a month in a room, that bird would just die. He just don't eat it. Here's what God is saying. Here's what I'm saying. When we feed ourselves the word of God, as Christ said to Peter, feed my sheep with the things of the spirit. The things of the flesh don't like those things. The things of the carnal aspect of mind don't eat those things. They begin to shrink. It begins to die. Like a dog in a room that you haven't been feeding for a month, he's going to get skinnier and skinnier because he's dying. You're eating, but it don't eat that. Cancer don't eat sulfur and garlic and an alkaline body. Certain things, God has made these things to agree with our natural body. That's why people say when they fasted, they prayed, they start to put in their mind spiritual things, their body the right thing, they said it went away. And what God is saying is, let even the spiritual side, the carnality, don't feed into it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Destroy things. God is saying destroy it by the things of the spirit, so that the old nature riding around, who wants to rise back up again. You hear a pulse. You see trials showing a little bit. God is saying, stab it again. Mortify it with the sword of the spirit, with the weapons of God, the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal, but they're mighty to God, pulling down things and cutting off things and mortifying self. Yes, it's a painful experience, but Christ says, deny thyself and follow me. As we bring this to an end, let us look to Acts 15 and 9, if you have your Bibles. 15 and 9, I probably quoted this, but I also want to turn for a visual of that. Acts 15 and 9, as I turn to it with you. He says, Gentiles. Remember, in the Holy Spirit, in God, there's no difference between Jew, Gentiles, Scorpios, and that such white, black, and we all become one. This is why families come together with prayer. Marriages are healed and relationships. People who never spoke to each other. We're fine. I've known people to get saved of a different nationality. All of a sudden, we feel like we have, and we do have so much in common, regardless of who's white, who's black, who's old. This melting pot by the fire of the Holy Spirit, it says, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith.
Yes.
And if you read the 8th verse, and if you go before then, just to get a complete, I know I'm going to be respectful of the time it said, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Holy Ghost is not just here for noise and who can do the most flips in the front row and not just for just noise and who can play the drums. He's saying what this is for. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. This fire that destroys sin and dross. And he goes on and put no difference between us and them. Purify. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He purifies their hearts. So when we say, Lord, search my heart so that I, through you, will destroy and leave nothing about me breathing, make me one. Sanctify me, O Lord. Do everything. Look at Romans 5 and 5. Romans 5 and 5. If you have it, Romans 5 and 5. I just want to show scriptural proof. As they said, they searched the scriptures. Not necessarily a song or a book of reference, because anybody can, but the scriptures. Matter of fact, I love all of this. Look at the third. I'm going to start at the third because it makes it more complete. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, the gem of God. When you go through something, we glory because it helps you to see where you really are. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, like a gym, you're working your biceps, your spiritual tricep. It's working out the things that you ask God to unchain, trials. things that you don't even want to come your way comes your way so that you can work and toil in prayer and destroy and cut off and submit even more to God. And patience, experience, and experience hope. And hope make it not a shame, because the love, oh my God, concentrate on this world before we close. The word destroyed is used so it sounds derogatory, but this is the love of God. God so loved the world. The devil hates you. He has a fire that comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. But God has come and loved you that we have life and have it more abundantly. So he says, hope make it not a shame, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And we just read, the Holy Ghost purifies. So we come to the Holy Ghost by the things that agree with the Holy Ghost. The Bible calls it the things of the Spirit. God has given us all things. He that is carnal, mind the things of the flesh. But he that is of the Spirit, do mind the things of the Spirit. And the things in the fire of the Spirit burns away and kills and shrinks. And spiritual tumors, spiritual cancers, spiritual things that want to live off of toxins and sin cannot find it no more in your mind, in your imagination, in your life. So it begins to die as God begins to see you sacrifice these things on the altar, and he takes his abode within your life. He comes inside of us with the Holy Spirit because we have surrendered all. And he burned away everything, and he lives, as the song says, let me see Jesus only, which agrees when Jesus was standing on the mountain. And the disciples said, shall we build a temple for you and one for Moses? And it says that, no, this is my beloved son, and when I'm well pleased, hear ye him. And when they were afraid, they looked up, and it says they saw Jesus only. In other words, the song that says, let me see Jesus only, is basically saying, in your heart, it's the Jesus in you. Not me and Jesus, not sin, not a little pit bull, a little devil, a little bit of the world, a spiritual mutt. God doesn't want spiritual mutts, and he's not coming back for a spiritual mutt. He's coming for a church that has nothing but Jesus reigning in your heart.
Hallelujah.
Because we have submitted into him. Time is winding up, and I pray as I end here that the Lord bless everyone on this phone as he shows us who we are, not into his hate, not into condemnation. He might even show us that everything is well, as all is well within my soul. But the Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. It is only the love of God saying, I love you so much. It's not the will of God that I lose anything, but raise it up in the last day. The Bible says, it's not the will of God that any of us should perish. But God is not taking sin to heaven. So this is the workshop. This is the gym. This is the place we utilize the things of God. So we thank God for trials. We thank God for 2020. We thank God for the trials that is more prayer. We thank God for everything that we didn't like, because even though we didn't like it, it helped us. It was precious to help us get closer to God.
Yes.
May God have a blessing to you as we ask God to fill us with your, as we leave nothing breathing, by the Holy Spirit and the things of the Spirit. And to the glory of God, may God have a blessing unto his word tonight. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I said that the best way to introduce someone that's going to bring the word is let them bring the word. And what an introduction.
Yes.
What
amen.
An introduction. That was a word, destroying to live. And I thank God for that word, and I thank God for you, Virgil. I appreciate, you know, all of the, you know, all of the discussions we have, and you know, I get so much out of your preaching and teaching. Is you know, God is just using you in a mighty way, you know.
Yes, you know, yes.
And when you were talking about don't fake that don't fake the death. You know, it's a lot of times that people can fake it for a while, but that truth will come out. You know, during those troubled times or those hard times or those tough times when you are tempted to do something that God doesn't want you to do, sometimes it just comes out. So we really have to live as what you were talking about, just allowing God's fire to burn away the sin in our lives, you know. And
Yes, Jesus.
You know, I thank God for you and thank you for that word and thank you for allowing God to use you in the way that he does. And I don't want to take up too much time, but what I would like to do is I would like to ask Bishop Cook if she could, if someone has something that they want to say, comments, questions to ask or anything, now will be the time, and she has the instructions for you.
Amen and glory to God. What a wonderful, anointed, rhema, prophetic word we have heard on tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And now you
Hallelujah.
Can put your praise on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Destroying to live. Lord, live in me, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You take everything that's not like you up out of me. Burn it up. Destroy it.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
I don't want
yes,
nothing
Jesus,
to get
Lord.
Between
yes,
me and
Jesus.
Thee, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes,
oh,
yes,
my brother got
hallelujah.
Me stirred up. My brother got me stirred up, but let me give the instruction.
Mm.
Hallelujah. If you want to put a praise on it, if you want to say, man of God, thank you, I love you, because I believe in that here. I believe in loving on serving leaders because they need love too. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They get to do the hard job of telling us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So if you want to put your praise on it, you have a question. You will have a prayer request to the mighty men of God. Press your one. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number. Now, the time is well spent, and it was indeed well spent, praise God. So I will ask that when you make your comment, be loving, be kind, be brief, so that we can get to as many people as possible. So if you have a comment, a question, you just want to say hallelujah, praise Jesus, I'm glad to be here, please press your one. We're all family here, and we want to lift
Amen.
Each other up, and we want to pour back into the man of God because he most certainly poured into
Amen.
Us on tonight.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I have been thoroughly blessed. I'm ready to go out and ask somebody they know Jesus right now. I'm ready to go
Amen.
Out and ask somebody. I'm ready to go out and ask somebody. You ready to burn up some stuff right now? Have you been waiting to exhale? Well, come on, let's get a match and burn up some of this stuff, this carnal stuff, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah,
yes.
Jesus. Oh,
yes.
Hallelujah. I thank God for his
hallelujah.
Consuming fire. But I'm going to go, so since I'm going to, as I start, look, as Sister Bishop does her producing thing, I'm going to allow some of the Spirit Alive family to come forth. I always know that they have a word. They get very excited about people speaking. We'll go to Apostle Edwin Holloway, and then we will move on to Mother Matty. Amen. I just want you to know, acknowledge that I see you, and I will be getting to you. Amen. Apostle Holloway,
Amen.
Sir.
And apostles, point indeed, prophetess, praise the Lord, God bless you. Pastor Berger, that word was wonderful. It was a spitfire word. It was to the point. We got to die out to our flesh. And I just thank God. I thank God for that word, because a lot of Christians are just floating around saying, God is good all the time, all the time. And they're still in that sin, but we got to die out. And as
Amen.
You were saying, I remember what this mother said years ago when I was praying with her. I'd hear her say, let flesh be denied, crucified, and put to death. That was her prayer. That was her prayer.
Amen.
And years after I heard her praying that for years, I began to pray it myself. Let flesh be denied, crucified, and put to death. So thank you
Amen.
So much. For God bless you. Here's
Hallelujah.
We praise
Thank
God for that word. That was right on
Amen.
Time. That word
Amen.
Was right
it sure was.
Time.
Amen.
We just got on the phone just in time, because we were on the phone with a daughter, and I was preaching to her about that some certain things, and I tell them to die out to that. So that word was right on time. We give God praise. We give God glory. That God will purge us with hyssop in the name of Jesus. So we thank God for that word. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. Mother Matty, come on in the room, ma'am. Okay. Let us keep it moving. Hey, we keep it rolling. All right. Area code 510, last four digits 9719. Good evening. God bless you. You're in the studio. Last four digits 9719. You're in the studio. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. God bless you. I was walking and I had the phone on mute. So I'm trying to.
That's okay.
Thank you for the wonderful message. Like they said, that was just right on time. And God is telling you to take your vitamins, one man.
Yes.
Spend time. And I thank God that you said what you live on, that you keep living on, you know, and what cancer feeds off of, and diabetes, whatever. But that really hit the heart.
Yeah.
It really hit
amen.
The heart. Just calling in, and so just keep me in prayer and much prayer for my husband. Thank you.
Yes,
ma'am. Amen. God bless you, ma'am. Area code 209, last four digits 3715. Good evening, and God bless you. You're in the studio.
Good morning. Good afternoon, and what a blessing. This is Yvette Burgess, a blood sister. And I just was very much inspired, and it's a profound word to hear raw, broken down English.
Yes.
When I say broken down, I mean whatever language you speak, it was broke down that you
he was getting it.
Understood.
Mm-hmm.
You
amen.
Understood it in your spirit,
right.
And you came.
Mm-hmm.
Being that you come to the line, you came with an open heart. You came to the altar, and God fed us there. God met
yes,
us there.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To live.
Hallelujah.
To live.
Oh
hallelujah. That was good.
That fed my soul. That fed my
me
soul.
Me too. Hallelujah.
It
thank
purged,
you, Jesus.
It purged the things that was in my heart.
Yes.
Out. It grabbed
hallelujah.
In the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
So that
thank
I
you,
grow,
Jesus.
So that I may grow and live. I,
hallelujah.
I was really blessed. I was blessed.
Yes.
With the word that was coming from my brother servant Virgil, with that, it grabbed it. It purged, first of all. We don't, you know what purging is?
Yes.
I'm a gardener. Yes. So you take something living, because it's living, we are living, but sometimes God has to cut with a sharp two-edged
sword. He got to prune and fine tune. Come on.
Yes, he has to cut. So that it hurts. I'm sure it hurt the vine, the twig, not a twig, but it hurts, but it's for our good that we may live.
Yes, ma'am.
And mature.
Say that.
And to grow.
Say that.
And so that
say
God
that.
Can use us and we can glow. Glow. We got, not only grow, but to glow. So that all men that may see us may glorify God because we got the high pro glow. We sit
yes,
on the
glory,
so that
glory. I like that.
It's something like being in the dark. But God
thank
bless us that the Holy Spirit bring us the light, and we are living in the light, so we
thank
can grow,
you, Jesus.
Live, and glow, so that people may see us, but glorify
the Jesus
God.
In us.
We don't want to be a dim light. We want to be a bright light. So I thank God
amen.
For the word burning out the things, the sin, the condemnation,
everything,
the doubt,
everything.
The depression, anxiety, burning out the things that might weigh us down, that we cannot move and go forward for Jesus Christ. Passing the
amen.
Word, like my brother said. Virgil, you did a great job. I say God bless. I'm praying
Amen.
That God fill you, Amen. Pour back into, and continue to anoint you as you are anointed. And we praise you,
yes.
God. We lift your arms up like when Moses is getting tired. We want to make sure we're there praying and being getting a gap for you, that your arms stay up, that we keep moving.
Amen.
Moving in the direction
you,
God wants to be. Glory
hallelujah.
To God. Praise
thank
the Lord.
You.
Praise
oh,
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We thank you for this servant leader. Hallelujah. Because as you can see from the comments, we heard you loud and clear. It was effective. It was active. It was instant. Hallelujah. And I just praise God for his holy word.
Amen.
We're going to go now to Apostle Zeta Flowers. She's one of our Spirit Alive family members. We will be speaking. We will allow. She's going to come and give us a word. Hallelujah. Mother Apostle, come on in the room. She's on mute. Hallelujah. Amen. She must be having technical difficulties, so we will just keep it moving. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. I just want to give honor to God for the two mighty men of God. Hallelujah. I just want to praise God for that word that went forth. We have to die to self. I mean, every bit of it. We can't leave anything that is not like God. We can't let it linger in us. We can't let it fester in us. We have to pray that the Lord burn it out. He removes it so that we can be moved from glory to glory, so that we may truly be transformed into the likeness of his Son. Now, you brothers and sisters out there on tonight, you have heard a word. You have heard the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Therefore, if you have not given your life to Christ, tonight we, hallelujah, the brothers, the pastors, Pastor Virgil Carter, Pastor Jeffrey Scott, and myself, Bishop Shalene Cook, we invite you not into a religion, not into a church, but into a relationship with Jesus Christ as your our Lord and Savior. We invite you to invite him into your life, to come into your life and save you. Because, you see, he's standing at the door, and he's knocking. And he wants you to open that door and allow him in. And my brothers and my sisters, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to tell you something. He's going to be standing there with the biggest welcome basket you've ever wanted to see. Because within that basket, your salvation is in there. Your faith will be in there, your peace, your joy, all
Amen.
The wonderful
Amen.
Things that
yeah.
bless us abundantly. You're going to have a set of armor in there. And
yes.
then you're going to have a bite. Then you're going to have your word that's going to teach you how to use that armor.
Mm-hmm.
You're going
yes.
to have that word to teach you how to walk and talk like Jesus. And what we want you to do is give your life to him. And you don't have to get dressed up, go to a church, wait for an invitation. All you have to do is drop to your knees right now. Humbly go before the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and save me for your name's sake. Make me and mold me and use me for your purpose and glory. And just like that, you are a child of the living God, and we want to be one of the first to welcome you into the kingdom. Whether you're sitting in Russia, whether you're sitting in China, if you're listening in the UK, or whether you're listening way up there in Iceland, we want you to know that Jesus is real, and he is there with you to help you through your trials and tribulations, to help you to grow. And to
yes.
to allow things in you to die so that you might eternally live. So please,
yes.
go back and listen to this program again, because it will truly, truly bless you. This brother put so much meat on the table on tonight. Hallelujah. You know, it might take you a couple of listens to digest it all. But please, Heed my brother's word. Get in his word. Study to show yourself approved. Surround yourself with people that love the Lord. And I'm not talking about church people. I'm talking about saints of God, people that really trust, believe, and live the way God has commanded us to live. We're not living. I'm talking about people that are not living holy with a twist. I'm talking about those sold
right.
out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the bona fide,
yes.
qualified, certified, hallelujah, Holy Ghost filled Christians that are only going to want
yes.
what's best for you, and only they're only going to want you to grow in the Lord and come to know Him more and to help you further your walk. So we just pray that on tonight you have truly enjoyed the brothers. And we just want to say, I just want to say to you, Pastor Virgil, my brother, you are a phenomenal man of God. I love the way you just come straight forward. You don't sugarcoat. And that's what the world needs. It doesn't need a bunch of performers. It doesn't need entertainers. It doesn't need, you know, we don't have to sing and fall out and gyrate. We just need to stand flat-footed and bring that word by the power
Amen.
Of the Holy Spirit. And it alone
yes.
has the power to break yokes, to deliver, to save, to restore, and to transform.
Mm-hmm.
So on behalf of myself and the entire Spirit Alive family and the listeners, we would like to say thank you and give you one hallelujah salute because you have blessed God's
Amen.
People on tonight. I'm now going to turn the program back over to its host, Pastor Jeffrey Scott, so that he may close his program as he deems fit.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And again, I want to thank you for the opportunity, Bishop Cooker. Thank you so much. You know, I appreciate everything that you're doing. I appreciate the support. I appreciate the way you allow God to use you in the way that He does. And so I just want to say that I thank you and I love you. And Virgil,
I love you.
Servant Virgil Carter. What can I say? You know, that was a phenomenal word. You bring the word, regardless of if it's one person, or 100 people, or 1,000. You treat the word as it's God's word that He's given to you that you need to bless somebody else with, and. You know, and you speak with that authority. And so I just want to say thank you to you for allowing God to use you in that way. And I also want to say, well, you're definitely welcome back anytime. Definitely welcome back anytime.
Amen. Amen.
And
hallelujah.
And I want to ask, if you will, could you could you dismiss us with a word of prayer?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for the honor and all honor ultimately to the Lord. Let us look to the Lord as we close in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give you thanks, as you said, in all things, give thanks. And to be
mm-hmm.
careful for nothing, but with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests known. Father, our first request, is your priority, is that everyone is saved. Everyone, O God, is completely surrendered
yes.
unto you, that you search our hearts, O God. If there's anything about it that we don't know about, Father, we thank you that you made a provision for it to be known about
yes,
by your
Jesus.
Blood, by your eyes, by your
thank
love,
you.
By your destroying fire, O God, of mercy, O God, by your desire that we come and that you came, that we have life and have more abundantly, O God. Father, deliver us, O God, from the enemy. If anybody is going through anything in their silence of what the devil is doing, what sin is doing, what carnality is doing, Father, we know that you have made provisions for that. So in the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus, as we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, we claim the blood of
yes.
Jesus over everyone on this phone. If someone does need
yes.
forgiveness, if somebody somebody was too shy, if somebody didn't open their mouth, Father, you know who they are and you know their heart.
Yes.
Touch them to accept you, to say yes to the message they heard, and the way that your spirit drew them, and the way that a seed was planted. One man planteth, another man waters, but you give it the increase. Father, now bless the saints of God. Bless, oh God, the stewards of this program who has this platform. Thank you and bless them, oh God, for making this available. Bless their families. Heal anybody that needs a healing. Heal those with cancer, oh God, and the things that you know about. Heal somebody, oh God, to get a better night's sleep tonight. Father, give somebody strength that is getting weak.
Yes.
Somebody might be suicidal. Somebody might be thinking about giving up. Father, cancel the plan of the enemy, and we claim the blood of Jesus over everyone on this phone, oh God, into victory in Christ Jesus and your full salvation. In Jesus' name we pray and call it done. Amen.
Amen. You have been listening to Every Man Standing in His Place with Pastor Jeffrey Scott and servant Virgil Carter. We are so blessed that the men of God were standing in their place on tonight.
Hello?
Host.
Yes, I think she may have dropped. The call may have dropped.
I'm
so,
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Yeah, I just want to say thank you to both of you for doing a beautiful job. And on behalf of the Spirit Alive family, it is our fervent prayer from our household to your household that you be ye transformed. Good night, everybody. God bless you until we meet again. So long.
Good night and God bless. God bless.